The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. Two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has indeed risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Glad the choir didn't have to memorize a lot of words in that song they sang. It was beautiful. I have to say that this is one of my favorite post-resurrection stories, because to me, it's so relatable. I can identify with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Whether or not we acknowledge it, most of us, and I'd venture to say all of us, know what it is to experience overwhelming grief. We know what it is to have our hopes dashed by events beyond our control. And surely these two disciples, like them, we too often have difficulty recognizing the risen Christ in our midst. With eyes downcast, overcome with grief, they did a pretty good job of summarizing for the stranger the recent events that had happened in Jerusalem. They recounted for him the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And they told him how their chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned. and they crucified him. And then they lamented, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And it wasn't until the stranger took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them that their eyes were open and they recognized him. Like I said, I can relate to this story, and I am confident that you can as well. First of all, there's that part about overwhelming grief. Grief comes whenever a loved one dies. Whether the death comes suddenly and unexpectedly or painfully slow after a long illness, death interrupts life. It squelches dreams. And in the wake of death, grief comes to us in waves. Our eyes are often clouded over by the rivers of tears we've shed. It causes restless nights, often filled with our doubts and our fears. It can shake the ground beneath us, as well as the foundation of our faith. The loss of a loved one may very well leave us feeling abandoned, alone, angry, brokenhearted, confused, hurt, lost, scared, and even scarred and deeply wounded. Grief can be overwhelming, and surely these disciples knew that firsthand. These disciples also knew what it was to have their hopes dashed. Hope is such a strange concept. Often it too can be confusing. We can hope for something that's so trivial that it's downright embarrassing to even admit to it. And yet still so desired, it can be terribly disappointing and discouraging when it doesn't come to pass or it doesn't play out the way we'd hoped it would. By way of example of the trivial, we might hope to find a good parking spot at the Ducks game. And when the perfect spot seemingly comes and appears out of nowhere, we might even say aloud, "Thank you, Jesus." But do any of us really think the risen Christ is sitting at the right hand of God watching us jockey for that ideal parking spot? I don't think so. Yet not getting what we hoped for can be disconcerting. It can turn our world upside down. I still remember the letdown I felt after interviewing for what I thought was my dream job. It was way back in 1992, and I was not only invited but encouraged to apply for a position with the ELCA. And when they flew me to Chicago, I found out that I was only one of two candidates being interviewed in person. So naturally, I began hoping and even praying that this dream job I longed for would come to pass. Only it didn't. But the next summer, I started down an entirely different path, the path toward ordination into Word and Sacrament ministry. And looking back, I'd have to say that in spite of feeling and that feeling of being rejected and terribly disappointed at the time, in the end, it turned out far better than I could even have dreamed or imagined. And ever since, I've felt so blessed to serve Christ's church and to love God's people. That includes all of you and those from home. That door closed for me that day. And yet something opened up that was far beyond my wildest imagination, and I knew in my heart that it was God's plan for me all along. Yet, to be perfectly candid, that experience doesn't even come close to what those two disciples must have felt after they recognized the risen Christ in their midst. They may have hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, But what they got was far beyond anything they could have imagined. Because when they arrived at their destination and welcomed this stranger into their home, the risen Christ soon became their host rather than their guest. And in the blessing and breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus and they realized that he had indeed been raised from the dead. We're told it was only when they were looking back that they realized their hearts were burning within them while he was on the road with them, while he was opening up the scriptures to them. Nevertheless, once their eyes were opened, they couldn't wait to tell the others what had happened to them. Now, I know we may be tempted to question how it is that they did not recognize Jesus in the first place. After all, it's clear that they had been followers of Jesus. It's clear they knew what had happened to him in Jerusalem. They may have even been at the crucifixion. Why did they not recognize Jesus? We may ponder on that question, and yet it's difficult for us sometimes to recognize Jesus in our midst as well. Yet in faith we proclaim that where two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, Christ is in our midst. In faith we proclaim that Christ is truly present in, with, and under the bread and the wine, and that Christ's body and blood is given for us and for all people, not just the redemption of Israel, for all people, all of creation. And it's given for the forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. Our faith teaches us that whenever we feed those who are hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, or visit the imprisoned, whenever we do these acts of mercy and compassion to the least of these, we do so unto Christ. Our faith teaches us that in baptism we are grafted onto the body of Christ, named and claimed a beloved child of God. And in faith we proclaim that if we die with Christ in a baptism like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So whenever you find yourself overwhelmed by grief, or your hopes are dashed, my prayer is that your eyes will be opened and you will recognize the risen Christ who is with you, just as he promised. With you always, to the end of the age. And now, as together we carry on the ministry of the risen Christ, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.